right now, it's a pleasure to welcome Ivy Smith. It's been a while since I've seen you. How are you, Ivy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Congratulations on being the Youth Poet Laureate. That's got to be huge. What was the process like?
So I go to a performing arts charter school, so it's kind of like a mandatory thing that we submit to certain places. So I was looking on our little bulletin board, and I saw the Youth Poet Laureate application, so I was like, oh, I might as well submit. I wasn't really expecting too much. I'm kind of used to, like, submitting, getting the standard rejection email. They're like, all right, at least it counts as a submission. But this time it was a little different. I submitted, and then one day I got a call. I didn't answer at first because I didn't recognize the number. But to my surprise, it was Alexis telling me that I had won.
So Alexis Jabor is here, who is the Community Engagement Manager for the Youth Poet Laureate Program at City of Asylum. Do you surprise a lot of people when you make those calls?
I do, yeah. Of course you're not going to answer a random number, and I started leaving the voicemail, and when Ivy picked up, I imagined you'd been looking at the, like, transcript and being like, what?
Yeah.
Well, that's a huge honor. And what responsibilities does being the Youth Poet Laureate come with?
That's a good question, and that's a question I had at first, too, after, like, I was happy that I won. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, what am I supposed to do? How am I going to be good at this? But from what I've gathered, it's basically just reading my poetry, working with the other poet ambassadors on, I guess, projects, kind of like our upcoming reading with our, and our theme's going to be artificial. So in incorporating social justice issues with poetry, and then Alexis helps us, I don't know, spread the gospel of poetry, I guess.
Well, it's important, and indeed, January 19th, Martin Luther King Day, this coming Monday at 7 o'clock, you and others will be at City of Asylum presenting poetry that includes the theme, or is around the theme, artificial, but also focused on social justice. It's a great theme. Did you have to meet that theme as well when you submitted your work, or could you just submit any work of your choice?
When I was submitting, no. I just submitted work I already had and tried to incorporate some pieces I already had that kind of incorporated social justice and then some that didn't.
I think it's good to get you to submit work you're already writing. It would be hard to create something specifically. It would just seem not quite as genuine for the competition at the beginning, at least. Would you like to share something that you wrote? I know you have a couple pieces to share, right?
Yeah, I have two poems, so I guess I'll start with this one. My first piece is called The Moon, the Snow, and All Other Beautiful Things, and I wrote it a few years ago, and it was kind of like the first poem that I wrote that I was proud of, so it's still kind of important to me. But anyways, white satin snow pelted down thick, like wool that would provide me no warmth. The moon glazed the world brighter and whiter the day of my birth. My mother reveled in this righteousness, certain I'd come on the day of the new moon. She exhaled her frets into the frigid air, and this breath of profound relief would be the first thing that I saw. The sun had christened me its own martyr, birthed me into a world where brown is sacrilegious, bathed me in sunlight that deemed me dirty. The sun had christened me its brown soil, poplar trees, dry blood on leaves, yet you say to worship bone. Is there white ink between the black words, testifying a real beauty? Why the snow is regarded more a blessing than rich russet soil that lay below. And if I were born in times of soil instead of snow, how would they all make me their blessing? Could my absence of white be redeemed as one of the other beautiful things?
Wow. It's a great the imagery is amazing, but something that I couldn't stop thinking about from the very beginning is that you wrote this about 2 years ago, the first writing that made you proud, and you're still proud of it. A lot of people will look back at things they did, including yours truly, and sometimes think, either I'm better now or I, they just don't look back at their back catalog so fondly. So it really says something about your temperament as an artist and your practice as an artist and a writer to feel that way about your work. Am I picking up something? I mean, is that often how you feel about past writing?
Oh, yeah. This is definitely like a needle in the haystack of like not bad work that I've done, but maybe just work I did at this time too that I didn't. That I don't really like think on fondly now. I mean, it had to be done to get to where I am now, so I'm proud of it for that reason, but probably not going to be sharing it anywhere. But this was kind of different for me because, I mean, I do feel like I'm a better poet now, but I guess it's kind of nostalgic for me. And I think this poem reflects really well on like how I felt at the time and who I was at the time. So it's kind of just nice to look back and see it that way, not be like totally embarrassed.
So you read that in eighth or ninth grade?
Yeah, eighth grade.
Eighth grade. Ivy Smith is now a junior at Lincoln Park Performing Arts Charter School, I gather in the writing program. Have you been thinking about life after high school much?
Yeah, I want to go to college, and for a long time, basically since second grade, I always said, oh, I'm going to be a writer. I'm just going to go for writing. But recently, my mind's kind of changed, and writing's something I always want to do, but I'm looking more towards, like, the film industry, which incorporates writing, but it's a little different.
What do you like about the film?
Kind of the same things that I like about writing and poetry. I really like how those art forms specifically, they kind of just make you a more empathetic person. I like how when you watch a movie or you read a poem or you listen to a story, the artist is kind of like demanding that you see them or see their perspective. And then as the watcher, you learn something from them and you get to see them for who they are.
That's a good thought. It's you really have to think about the audience and the message that you want to get across as you do it. Have you shared your poetry on stage much?
Not a whole lot. I've definitely had opportunities going to a performing arts charter school just with like our arts festivals that we've had and sharing it there, and then some opportunities through the Youth Poet Laureate program, like Amnesty International, which was somewhere that we read.
So something I'm wondering about, and this isn't necessarily personally for you, but just in general, there are probably poets and writers in general that are perfectly comfortable writing their work and, you know, this is it, I'm done, you know, it'll be published or somehow shared, but I'm not going to get up and read it or perform it. And then I suppose there's probably the other extreme where people want to get up and share their writing. Is it that bimodal, do you think, where some people kind of go towards one side and others go towards the performance end?
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. I know a lot of people who say, like, I only write for myself, like, I don't need anyone to share it, which I think is good in its own respect, but I've never really been like that. I mean, I think I kind of write with the intention of someone reading it or someone understanding it. And, you know, not everyone has to understand it, but...
What if somebody else read what you wrote? Would that make sense to you? I mean, aloud.
I don't know. I've never really thought about it. I mean, I've never been the most, like, comfortable public speaker, so I'm sure maybe they'd have a better way of performing it, but just because I think poetry and writing in general is such, like, a vulnerable art form, it would be kind of inauthentic.
That's a really good insight. I've been thinking a lot about that lately, is there's kind of an assumption, if you wrote it, you must really be interested in speaking it or sharing it aloud, and that's not necessarily the case at all, nor do you want to your work to be diluted by somebody else's voice or changed. So it may be that reading ends up being what's best, or if you're one that likes to share work orally, that's the other. I think about that stuff a lot.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of great spoken word poets, and their work is like really elevated by reading it aloud, and specifically them reading it aloud, just because their voice and their words are kind of meant to be that way. But I think I've always written the things that like I wasn't able to say aloud, or like I wasn't comfortable saying aloud, or even now, like, I'm comfortable reading it aloud, but there's just something about writing it down that is more streamlined than it going from, like, your thoughts to your mouth to the other person, whereas writing is right from your thoughts, I think.
It gives you a chance, I would imagine, to hone your message, too, in a way that matters. I know you have another poem to share with us. I'd like to end our segment with that poem. So therefore, I want to be sure we mention anything else that we should mention. I'd like your poetry to have the last word. And I'll turn to Alexis as well. City of Asylum's celebration of Ivy as the Youth Poet Laureate, along with the Youth Poet Ambassadors, is January 19th between 7 and 8. I suspect it's free.
It is free. It is in person at our building, Alphabet City, here on the north side, 40 West North Avenue, but it's also live streamed, so you can find the ticketing info at cityofasylum.org. Yeah, and all five of the poets, Ivy the Youth Poet Laureate, and the four Youth Poet Ambassadors, will be reading old work, new work on the theme of artificial, which they chose. We had some planning meetings in December, and one of the things we do every year, sort of the main, you asked earlier, Larry, about like requirements or duties as a Youth Poet Laureate. And the one thing we do is produce a commencement reading. So we put on a reading and discussion for all the poets and let them shape it how they want. And usually this looks like they pick a theme and then they write new work on the theme. So they chose, inspired by artificial intelligence. But as we brought that up as an idea, everybody sort of took their own bend on it and kind of branched out into all these related topics. And so somebody suggested, oh, what if we, in the titling, we say artificial, and then that is a much broader theme. And so we can, you know, those of you that want to write about AI can, but then we have these other topics of like, you know, persona and identity and stuff.
It should be a great night if you are interested in hearing fresh, original voices. There'll be, I think, six poets there that night, assuming everybody's feeling well, or five.
Five, yes.
Ivy, as well as the Poet Ambassadors. Ivy, before you share the other poem. Anything else you wanted to add?
Not really.
No, I just wanted to, you know me, I just wanted to be sure I didn't skip out on a chance for you to say something that you wanted to. What are you going to share?
Hey, my second poem is called Godspeed, and this is a more recent poem from like the past couple months. So, it is to wait for oneself out at the wine-colored sea, to set sail with the unfounded surety more fish will be. His father and father's father 10 times over have relented to the same occupation. Since there has been sea, we have plunged our salt-stung hands within. His father puffs, gripping the son's shoulders like the steering wheel of a whaling ship, hoping her harvest is more plentiful than the last is the unspoken prayer in this sermon. The part his son, without the title of someone's father, spits in tobacco blackened gobs into the boat's planks on his first solo trip. Godspeed is what they bellowed from the rocky shore, and the young man laughed. How fitting, this hope is laced with impossibility, a god he could never be. And when the sea is night dark, unending, swimming into the sky, impossible stretches its bounds, impossible it is, the bottomless well, and he laughs at the divinity before him, examining the family heirloom box for the perfect bait, each an elaborate human ploy, wood and painted mimics. The only method unscathed is ice fishing. This is desperation's greed in an unforgivable scheme, to tell the ocean's murky outlet that there's no time, to calcify and carve at her cocoon. Provide is what she has sung cryptically since the dawn she did not see. But the fisherman's son has decided this was a plea for patience and not a siren of scarcity. So from the soppy mud he pulls a worm, halved like a better version of his entrails to taste the metallic hook, and casts his line into the wine-dark sea, from the shore where they waved Godspeed.
Incredible. Thank you for sharing that, and good luck Monday. And good luck forever. I hope we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Once again. Thank you. That's Ivy Smith, the Youth Poet Laureate for all of Allegheny County. And Alexis Jabor, thank you for being with us.